Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, it's the last day of the President's Week vacation for teachers and students in New York City, a day marked as much by the rain and the wind as by the knowledge that Monday is just on the other side of the weekend. So, teachers, while we have you at home, enjoying a day off, perhaps correcting papers, listening in, let's also have you on the phone. We're setting up a teacher press conference, and we want you to be part of it. What's the headline in your classroom so far this school year? Or what's the headline in your school? Teachers in public schools, private schools, charter schools, regardless of the grade or the subject that you teach, I realize not all school systems have this week off, but if you are off today for President's Week, call in to 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Teachers, we know you're in the thick of the national discussion on public sector unions. Let's not talk about pensions and health benefits in this segment, but instead let's just talk about teaching and what's going on in your schools. What else do you think the public needs to know about your job and what's happening in the classroom as a teacher? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And since we're framing this as a parent-teacher conference of the air, parents who are probably also listening in greater numbers today because you have the kids at home this week, call up to ask any question of any of the teachers at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So we're going to save some line for teachers, some lines for teachers, and some lines for parents at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And this is not about gotcha questions. This is about curious questions. This is a President's Week opportunity for parents and teachers, while you're both home, to get together here and chat. For parents to ask teachers any questions about the job, questions other than, how's my own child doing? So we've got lines open for some teachers. We're opening lines for some parents with questions for teachers. What do you want to know about teaching, what makes it go well or badly, how the teachers in your children's lives make decisions that they make, things that maybe you wouldn't ask in the short turnaround of a parent-teacher conference where all the focus is on your individual child. So parents, call us up. Teachers, we're saving lines for you. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, our parent-teacher conference of the air right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with our parent-teacher conference of the air. Teachers are calling in to tell us what's the headline from your classroom this year, and parents are calling in to ask teachers questions that maybe you don't get to ask when you're just in the classroom parent-teacher conference talking about your own kids. So 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And let's put a couple of teachers on the air to start out here, Jonathan in the Bronx and Liza on Long Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Liza.
Hi.
Glad you have the week off. Sorry you have to go back on Monday.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. What's the headline from your classroom this year, Liza?
Well, as a teacher, I'm involved in a lot of curriculum committees, different committees, math committee, language arts committee. And what I'm seeing changing are the new standards that teachers are being asked to teach, so that the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics had set the standards that states had pretty much adopted, and now there's a new set of core standards which are being set by people. If you go on the Contact Us and Who Are We page of those sites.
By the way, you're a math teacher?
I'm a first grade teacher.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And those are being set by the school, their state governors' associations, and when you look at the actual people who are setting these core standards, they're not educators. And some of the standards are really not appropriate, developmentally appropriate, for young children, say the first grade standards. I have concerns about some of them. They're being asked to do things that are more abstract for more concrete younger thinkers.
So your headline from your first grade class is that non-educators are out there setting standards that you think are not appropriate for your first grade students.
Yes. There's another headline, too, which is that this whole research-based phrase that is being thrown at parents and teachers, and I really want parents, and I am a parent of school-age children myself, parents to question, whose research is this? What kind of research is this? If you read the National Reading Panel's 500-page tome that was published now just about 10 years ago, there is a minority report written in the very end by the sole educator who was on that reading panel, Joanne Yatvin, and she says that this research was not conducted properly and thoroughly, and much more needs to be done.
Jonathan, what's the headline from your classroom this year, and what do you teach?
I teach fifth grade special education in a 12-to-1 ratio, and I teach in the South Bronx. And I have found that in my classroom, going back to these standards that were just spoken about, I found that, unfortunately, even though that my students are evaluated as possibly being three grades below, four grades below, they are expected to perform on a fifth grade level on these state tests and to make adequate yearly progress, when in actuality, on their individual education programs, it specifically states that they are not able to perform at that level. And this is a huge issue because of the test preparation programs that we have in schools, the Kaplan programs, and how so much time is wasted on material that is at a much higher level than my students are able to work at.
So what do you need?
What I believe we need are separate standards for students who have IEPs and have these evaluations that specifically state what their grade level is, and we need to reach them at that level and not reach them at a higher level than they're capable of at that time.
Mm. So we've got a little unity here on reaching students at their level and not trying to teach over their heads for, I guess, political concerns. Let's, you guys ready to answer a question from a parent? Let's see what comes up. Frank in Yonkers, you're on WNYC with teachers Jonathan and Liza. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Jonathan and Liza. How are you?
Hi.
I'm the father of a gifted student. I get the 100s on the report card for math. I get the 100s on the report card for science. And my son is in high school in Yonkers. He's in a good school. I'm sure it's not the best, but it's a good school. I'm wondering why, with all the computer technology that we have today, why we don't have a program of completely computerized, computer-assisted programs for teaching, one where the student goes into the classroom, he puts on the earphones, he watches, and he hears, and he learns. He doesn't need a teacher in the classroom. He needs a program taught to him.
Wow,
if he has questions, there's somebody there that can assist for a question. Mm. And I'm wondering why we can't have, with the technology that we have today, why can't we hear things like acceleration on a daily basis?
So Liza, you like that idea?
Can learn.
Well, I would love to speak to that. I'm nearly done with my coursework for being certified as a teacher of gifted and talented students. You know, I'm tempted to throw a question right back to you, which is, well, why do you want that? I'm guessing it's because you don't feel like there is not a program that will meet the needs of your child. There's not enough staffing.
No, the reason is that you will then have the gifted student accelerated on a daily basis, and you'll have the attention drawn toward the student who's not quite as quick. You'll be able to assist the student who's not quite as quick, and you'll be able to separate the student who doesn't want to learn, you know, very easily, to the student who's going to learn very fast. There's things here that have to be attended to, and the cost of a student in school today is one of the factors that has to be attended to. The schools.
And Frank,
today,
I'm gonna leave it there for time purposes. But Liza, you get his question. You want to give him any more of an answer?
Yes. What you're talking about is differentiation of instruction, which is why I teach, because that's the beautiful challenge of teaching, is figuring out where a student is, just like the other teacher was talking about. You have kids who have to function at a lower than below grade level. You have kids who are able to function and want to function higher, who have strengths and gifts and talents in different areas, whether it's art, music, dance, science, or math. And what we need are not computers, but we need people, that is adults and children, in a community who can push children and students towards their highest levels of functioning. And the problem with the computer technology, relying on a computer, is you lose the feedback, the interaction, the sharing of ideas that other students can offer the, you know, higher functioning kids. They need to be able to be together. And I agree with you, they should not be held back. But that's a question of staffing. And there's, you know, they are the first programs to get cut, those gifted and talented programs. They're extra, and we're gearing everything towards the bottom line, as the teacher before said, the adequate yearly progress.
Toward bringing the bottom up.
That's right, and it's a struggle. It's a struggle that I face in my classroom, where we school districts are adopting all over the place, right and left, these programs that are so-and-so research-based, and it's all about teaching towards the bottom.
Let's bring in another parent, Marin in Bloomfield. You're on WNYC. Hi, Marin.
Hello. It's Marin, actually.
Forgive me.
That's all right. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a parent of, I have a girl who's graduating from high school this year. She is ninth in her class, and I have an eighth grader, and I also teach eighth graders. But as a parent, I really feel like so many of us are dropping the ball. And when we talk about parental involvement in schools, a lot of times it's about parent organizations and volunteering and baking cakes. But we have to ask if the homework is done. We have to place a value on what is being done at school. We have to ask, you know, hey, what are you learning? What is going on? We have to, you know, provide an environment that says you need to read. You need to, you know, schoolwork is important. And I just think that my kids come home with these tales of, oh my God, the kids sit in class and they don't care, they don't know, they're intolerably ignorant. And I think there's a lot that we have to up our value system.
So what's your question?
Well, my question is what can schools do to sort of kick parents in the pants, you know, not about coming to parent-teacher conferences half so much as just, hey, it's 7 p.m. Have you asked about your children's homework today?
Jonathan, this sounds like it might be up your alley based on what you called in with before as a teacher.
Sure. She's right. Over the past several years, based on the performance of my students, I've found that there is a huge disparity between the performance of students whose parents are involved in their education and those whose parents are not actively advocating the value of education. Students today are going home to Facebook, instant messaging, movies, video games. Their parents are not making sure that they're reading for an hour when they go home. They don't have time, possibly, to sit down with their child and work on their math homework with them. But even for those parents, there are programs that are offered after school for free that allow students to get the extra help that they need. And many parents, for some reason, in my school, the majority of parents do not have their children participate in these programs, and they need to. We offer workshops for parents, how to help your child, you know, move through the elementary school programs, because obviously, you know, a little more than 50% of the students in my school pass the ELA test. And there's a reason for that. It's because of lack of parent involvement and the fact that students come into the school having never read a book, and they expect us to play catch-up for their entire elementary school career.
Maren, thank you for your call. So, Jonathan, when you hear Liza complain about how everything is geared toward bringing up the bottom, but you only have 50% of the students in your school passing the English language arts exam, are you left conflicted and saying, well, maybe we do need to spend most of our resources bringing up the bottom?
I would say we don't need to spend most of the resources bringing up the bottom, but we need to spread out our resources or add resources to allow those students who do excel to have the proper instruction that they need and to give students who are struggling the proper instruction that they need. And unfortunately, that costs money, and we're not willing to invest in programs that will facilitate this.
Let's get one more parent question in here. Jerry in Brooklyn, to conclude our three-question news conference and parent-teacher conference for a couple of brave teachers who are willing to call in. Jerry, real quick, to the point.
Yeah, my daughter, she's not doing so good in Spanish, so I bought her a Spanish learning program. Now she's doing fantastic. She was not doing so well in English, and now she's got one of those new tablets, which I spent quite a bit for, and now she's doing more reading than she never than she ever had. So am I doing a good job? I mean, where does this end?
Liza, give us a last comment for today. Jerry, it looks like Jerry's having success with Rosetta Stone and the iPad.
I think that's great. I think I would like to hearken back to the mom of the mom of the eighth grade students and the teacher of the eighth grade students, and you know, applaud you. It doesn't end. I have a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old, and my 14-year-old was failing his second quarter, and we were on him and on him and on him. I sat with him. I read aloud his chapters to him. Finally, he learned how to write his chapter outlines. This is parenting, man, and you have to. It is a team of the parents and teachers and the kids all together. We're all in this together, and I think, you know, just keep doing. Be attentive to your child. Check in with the teacher. You absolutely have the right to contact the teachers as often as you need to. But, you know, take a read on how your child is doing and just stay with it.
Well, Jonathan, special ed teacher from the Bronx, Liza, first grade teacher on Long Island, you've been great, and you've answered some interesting questions. I think we had a really interesting conversation with the three parents who we took, and you know, hopefully everybody's going to learn from this. So thanks a lot, and good luck when you go back to school on Monday.
Thank you.
Bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, to finish out the week, in advance of the Oscars on Sunday, we will ask, what makes the best documentary? Is it how good the movie is or how good the cause? Stay with us.